I'm going to reintroduce everyone for the sake of radio listeners. You're listening to KHNS Chilkat Valley News Forum about the Haines special recall election. Our guests are the three recall targets, Heather Lendy, Tresham Gregg, and Tom Morfitt. We invited upwards of 30 recall supporters, including the original sponsors, to be here. None of them agreed to participate. Now back to the questions. I think many people recognize that this recall effort is about more than just these two misconduct allegations. Don Turner Jr. threatened to recall Tom Morfitt as early as last December when the assembly fired former manager Bill Seward. When I spoke with Turner a couple months ago, off tape but on the record, he said his drive to unseat these three assembly members came from their actions around the harbor expansion project. So I'd like each of the assembly members to respond briefly to the fact that people may be casting a vote based on decisions the assembly has made that are not listed on the recall petitions. Tom?
Well, you've summed it up. When people go to the polls, they don't have to honor the grounds of the recall. They can decide, well, in the past 12 months, I didn't like the way Tom Morfitt combed his hair, so he's going down. People are free to do that. It is an election. I ask that people honor the intent of the system and consider the recall only on the grounds on which it was brought. A certain amount of goodwill and trust is really all that is the only glue that holds government or civil society together. Once we become individual warring states, this whole system collapses. Civilization is a thin veneer. We've seen that in the 20th century in the world and in our world today, where societies dissolve into civil war and acrimony. There has to be some trust, and I trust that the voters will get into the polling booth and look at the grounds for the recall and judge the Greek recall on their grounds. I would like to think that I live in a society where people are still interested in living by the rules.
Tresham?
I think it's true. It's what they're up to. And, it's not the right way to go. We were elected in the normal process, and so were a whole lot of other people back over time, but we didn't appreciate their stance on this, that, and the other thing, but we don't go out and recall them. I agree with Tom, it's just not a recallable offense, and I don't have a whole lot to say about that.
Heather?
I recognize that people may go into the voting booth and make choices about us that have nothing to do with the recall charges, and they can do that. I would say that that will set the kind of precedent that I don't know who would run for office then, because at every meeting, whether it's a committee meeting or an assembly meeting, there are decisions that are made based on the best information that we have at the time and our judgment and the staff input, and some of them are popular and some of them aren't. And if every person is sitting up on the dais wondering if how they vote they are now going to get recalled, we won't be able to govern ourselves. It's questionable right now, even if we can, because of that pressure. It's shown up in everything we do. Decisions that should be fairly simple, even when you try very hard not to think of the recall thing. I mean, we knew all along through the manager hire that the recall threat was hanging over our heads. Mm-hmm. And it was not so secret that there was pressure, because maybe if you go one way or another way, we won't or we will. It dragged out for a long time so that the people who are upset could affect basically our ability to govern. And if the citizens of Haines choose to use a recall just to every time the person you want to win an election doesn't get elected, you start at it immediately the next morning, you wake up and, as has happened with us, go recall, it really hinders our ability to be the kind of town that ever gets anything done. So I guess I would encourage people to look at the what we're accused of and to determine if that's valid. And if they choose to go ahead and vote for some other reason, to think about how that will affect the next person that's sitting up here. And will we just have a continuous cycle where that's what we do in Haines? And now will the next side say, okay, I'm upset, so let's go get them. And it's pretty easy these days, as you can see. You don't have to have any proof. All you have to do is say something, and that can go on and on and on and on. And I think it does terrible damage to our community. And I guess I'm with Tom. I trust the citizens in Haines to shut this thing down and to say that's not how we are here, and to give especially beginning assembly members like myself and Tom an opportunity to learn to make decisions, to feel our way through without constantly looking around for a safe to fall on our head. It's very challenging under these conditions, and if we keep them going, it's going to be worse. So
okay, now we want to talk about some of the controversial decisions the assembly has done over the past few months, or has made over the past few months. Even though these are not official reasons for the recall, we have heard anecdotally from residents that these things might play into their decision at the polls. The borough manager hire has upset a number of people. Those who favored Brad Ryan said the assembly violated its charter by not picking the most qualified candidate, and that staff and community that they were ignored. Their input was ignored. That decision will likely influence some people's decision in the voting booth. Heather, could you begin?
That has nothing to do with the charges that the recall has leveled against us. Those decisions don't. And I recognize that some people are upset. I think the assembly made the best decision. I think we have a great manager. I think the assembly is working well. And I would ask Mr. Turner, since he is here, if maybe he could tell us what is the real basis for the recall then, if the recall isn't the charges that were being charged, what is it? What is it that you are unhappy with, that you are running through the bars and knocking on doors and getting people to sign petitions because we're doing something so grievous that you feel we have to be thrown out? What are the real causes of this if it's not the charges that you've leveled against us?
Don Turner has not agreed to participate unless he's changed his mind. He can come up to the stage here, but let's stay focused on the conversation between the assembly members and the moderators.
You know, but he's here, and he has put us all in this spot, and we could just as easily have said, we're all going to sit here, but we're not going to talk either.
That is true.
Tom?
Yeah, I love those questions. I love all questions. I'm a newspaper reporter by heart. I agree with Heather that certainly a recall is a gun held to the head of an elected leader on each decision, because any election is people are going to bring into the sum of issues. I think we can fairly assume that people, a certain percentage of the people, will not judge us only on the grounds of the recall. The allegation that we ignored the staff and the community and our manager hire, once you dig into it, is fairly, it's inaccurate. When I started talking to staff, the support for the candidate who didn't get the job was mostly among the department heads, who were very vocal. As you go down into the staff, they weren't so neatly aligned. And if the community was ignored, I think we could make the manager hire, like they do a sheriff's position in other communities, an elected position. It could become a popularity contest. It was a difficult decision for the assembly because in part because the manager was a person who had lived here for a short time and had basically been involved in mostly non-political positions. And the candidate we hired had lived here a long time, and when you live here a long time, people develop sharp opinions, especially the candidate we hired, Ms. Schnabel, has some courage, and she's spoken out, and she had vocal enemies. But this question that we didn't hire the most highly qualified candidate is I think it needs to be put to rest. Ms. Schnabel had a degree in the profession. The other candidate had, I think it was 7 months, 9 months on the job. They were equally qualified, or at least equally qualified. And the people who brought that charge, that Schnabel wasn't the most highly qualified and we violated the charter, 5 months before, when the three people that are sitting up here tried to bring in Dave Palmer, who had served for 20 years as a manager in Southeast, said, oh no, as a municipal manager, said, oh no, hire Brad Ryan, he's more qualified. So a man who had the interim job for 9 months was somehow more qualified than somebody who'd done the job for 20 years. And then four months later, these same people are saying, oh, a man who's done it for the job for 9 months is more qualified than someone who has a degree in it. So, you know, the logic just didn't stand up. And it was a tough decision. I think it was the best decision. I think it's going to prove out to be the best decision. I think it's already proving to be the best decision. But you know what? In government, I think all of us, all three of us, realized, hey, this decision might cost us our heads, but we made it anyway because it was the right thing to do.
Treasurer.
I agree. I mean, really, the third man out, you know, I mean, Tom and Heather have said it all. But, and I was going to say, of course, first of all, yeah, this is beside the point as far as the recall goes. But as far as the manager qualifications, I could only see that Deborah had those qualifications. I mean, she had graduated in municipal management, and she's been on the borough and as a worker in the borough, and as a consultant, and you know, lived here all her life. And Brad Ryan did an admirable job as the interim manager, but he really had no experience going into it of any real sort, and he's also a great facilities director, it was a very difficult choice because, well, he had stepped to the plate for us twice in dealing with the interim manager position, and we all liked him, but we really could see that Deborah and it could deal with the kinds of issues that are a little bit more politically oriented, a little more ethereal, a little more community-based, you know, that Brad really didn't have that background in, at least not at the moment. So it was a tough decision, but as Tom says, I think we made the right decision. I think she's doing a great job, and that the staff is working well with her, and the assembly's working well with her, and we look forward to a brighter day.
This next question is just for Tom. In April, you publicly released 4 police complaints. The police officers named in those complaints felt their rights as borough employees had been violated. The union lodged a grievance, and the assembly eventually reprimanded you for what you did. Now the Political Action Committee associated with the union is lobbying for Tom's recall because, according to union rep Tom Bryce, they felt Mr. Morfitt was unrepentant about his conduct. As shown by the Union PAC's actions, this issue is likely to play into some people's decision in the recall election. Tom, what do you have to say to the people who think you crossed a line by releasing those complaints and did not take the issue seriously?
Man, how much history do you want? Those complaints I heard of about a year ago. I thought they were worth looking into, so I looked into them, and I collected that information myself. I took that information to Brad Ryan, thinking that that the borough could just handle it internally, that it wouldn't necessarily have to go to the media. A week later, the recall started. I don't know if there's any connection between those things, but that's how it happened. So a week later, the recall started, and I had to decide for myself what was more important, this borough process, which might have taken for months and never gotten resolved, and I might have been recalled in the interim, or the substance of those complaints, which I think affected public safety and the public's confidence in the police department, which holds enormous power in any society. I released those to the media, and I regretted not redacting the names of the officers involved. It was never my intention to prosecute any individual police officers. It was to bring to light a pattern of behavior in the police department that I thought the public needed to be aware of. I later apologized to the police officers, both in writing and publicly at an assembly meeting. The union wasn't satisfied with that, and also sought my censure. I agreed. I wrote it on my blog. Censure me already. I wanted to be done with the censure. I made the motion for my own censure because I basically at that point I believed it was petty politics and it shouldn't take up any more of the assembly's time. Right now, the Haynesborough Police has no public accountability of complaints. In other words, if you file a complaint about the police, there's no way for the public to know about that complaint or hear how that complaint was resolved. That's, to me, an issue that needs to be resolved at the Haynesborough. There needs to be accountability for everyone that holds power. And that's basically why we're up here. Voters are holding us accountable, and anyone who holds power has to be held accountable, and particularly the police department. I was very disappointed that the borough's employees, this action by the borough employees' political arm was taken without any consultation with borough employees. What kind of union is that? That takes action from Juneau without asking the local members of the union if they support it. Who in the Haynesborough took that issue? Did anyone in the Haynesborough call up the police union in Juneau and say, hey, we need to go after Tom Morfitt? I'd like to know. Quite frankly, I just think it's unprecedented for a Juneau-based union to get involved in a Haynesborough election. But getting back to probably the meat of what you want to know is, did Tom Morfitt do the right thing, or does Tom Morfitt have regrets? I was in a difficult position in that if I have to choose between honoring the contract we have with the policemen's union and honoring the contract that I have with the voters of the Haynesborough to make sure they know what they need to know concerning people that wield power over them every day, that puts me in a difficult position, and I'm probably going to fall back on letting the voters and the citizens of Haynes know what they need to know. I don't like to be in that position. I wish the borough had some kind of accountability for complaints so that I knew that once those complaints were made, that there's some place out in the public where the police come and say, well, we looked into this and this and this, and we found this and this and this, and gets back to the public. That would be a better resolution than me in the future, under the situation we have now, where there's no accountability in terms of complaints. I feel that maybe I erred by not just immediately taking those to the media. because right now there's very little way for the public to really know what happens when they bring a complaint, and just bringing a complaint to about the police is very intimidating. There was a citizen that reached me last week, had a complaint about an interaction that person had with the police, and I said, "Well, what would you like me to do with this?" And she said, "Well, I'm afraid of the police. I don't want you to do anything with it. I just want you to know about it." I think that, you know, the good resolution to this situation is to have the police department develop a policy of accountability to the public when members of the public have the chutzpah to come forward with a complaint about the police department.
Okay, really briefly, do you think you violated borough code and the employee contract?
Well, the question is I receive those complaints from the public, and to me that's just like when the public calls in something to the police in terms of the police report. Is that the police's information then, or is it the public's information? The union contends that information, once I gave it to the borough, became privileged, confidential personnel information. I disagree with that assessment, and I may be wrong. I may be wrong, and I may have broken the contract or the terms of the contract. But it seems to me a bit illogical if a member of the public goes to a publicly elected official with a complaint and is willing to put their name on it, then if the borough gets hold of that complaint, it suddenly becomes something else. It becomes a personnel issue. Consider that if those complaints came to you as a reporter, you could put them on the air, and you wouldn't be revealing a personnel file. Yes, I may have violated the contract, and if I did, then I'm sorry. But again, if I have to choose between honoring a contract and honoring my obligation to the safety and welfare of the Haines citizenry, you know, I might choose the latter.
All right, we're going to wrap things up. We have a question from the audience. What, if anything, do you feel you've learned through this recall process? Tresham, we'll start with you.
We make phone calls now.
Instead of emails, you mean?
Instead of emailing, yes, right. Yeah. Actually, yeah, we don't seem to email so much anymore. I have to say we're a little gun shy of emails.
To avoid public records requests? Just want to be clear about what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe so. But, you know, actually, we don't really talk much about anything these days. Everything is done in the assembly, and we have good dialogue between us at the assemblies, and a lot of opinions might get changed right there on the floor. And so... And pretty congenial.
Heather.
I have learned that a small group of disgruntled people can upend the whole community. I've learned that it takes courage to be on the borough assembly and to make decisions in public, especially when you know they are going to be misconstrued or challenged in private and closed Facebook pages and private meetings by people who, as you see tonight, don't have the courage to sit up here and answer the questions about why they're recalling us and the crimes that we supposedly committed that they are so convinced about. So I've learned that, and I've actually learned that I have more courage than I thought I did. If you had told me when I got elected that this is what it was going to be like, I would have said, I don't think I'm cut from that kind of cloth. But I feel that it's so important that good people don't cave to this kind of attack on really what is our whole system of government and our community, that I'm committed to sticking with it and to defending myself. So I guess that's what I've learned. I think I've also learned that the majority of people in Haines are very good, but that some people are real angry, and that's a worry, especially when that anger, they feel like there's no public process for it, and the best way to do it is to do it in closed private groups that affect all of us with no real ability to have even a conversation about it publicly.
Tom?
For 30 years I sat in my office, and when there were people that I admired and trusted and respected came in, I would say, man, why don't you run for assembly? And they'd say, oh. And I learned now what the oh was about. But I do want to say that in regards to Tresham's comment about the emails, I believe that this assembly, I went to city council meetings where nearly every vote was unanimous, and it was obvious that most of the discussion was happening outside of meetings. And and let me tell you, we've come a long way. We've come to the point now that too often we go to meetings where no one has any idea where anybody stands, and that's why the meetings take 6 hours. We have to kind of sit and figure out everybody else's thinking. And I think that was so evident in the meeting where Mr. Seward was dismissed. And if anyone cares to listen to that tape, you will hear 6 different opinions of Mr. Seward and slow evolution that occurred in the course of the discussion. So I guess what I've learned is that, there's a reason. And I guess at the newspaper, it was allowed me to kind of have an ivory tower view of why things aren't better in Haines and why it seems that we're always 2 steps forward and 1 step back, or maybe 1 step forward and 2 steps back. And now that I've been in the trenches, I understand why, and I hope to take a little bit of that understanding and maybe use that to be a better assemblyman, from here.
Thank you, Assembly Members Tom Morfitt, Heather Lundy, and Tresham Gregg. Thank you, everyone, for being here at the KHNS and Chilkat Valley News Recall Forum. Once again, we invited dozens of recall supporters to participate, and none agreed to do so.
And if anyone is interested, we did write questions for any potential supporters, and if you'd like to see them, we'll have them available. So it obviously appeared one-sided, but we do have questions.
We did put in an effort to invite recall supporters, and we have those questions if anyone wants to talk to us about them. The special recall election is August 15th. There is a new voting location in town, the ANB ANS Hall, not the Chilkat Center. Thanks again, and have a good night.